Well, this year's Wetland Science Conference is coming up in mid-February, and on the show today, we'll take a look at some of the topics they'll be covering and some other things as well. Larry Mueller here again. Thanks for joining us. One of our guests is Katie Belfus back with us. She's the Outreach Programs Director for the Wisconsin Wetlands Association. And Katie, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Great to be here. Thank you so much.
And with her is one of the conference's keynote speakers, Tehase Hill, who is chairman of the Oneida Nation. Tehase Hill, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Larry.
Great to have you along as well. He will be talking about the work of the nation in protecting and restoring watersheds on their land. So as we talk with these two folks, I hope you'll join in. Have you attended the Wisconsin Wetlands Conference before? What questions you have about the conference? What do you want to know about the importance maybe of wetlands? Questions in that area? You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or go ahead and email us. The email address, ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Katie, before we start talk about the topics in the conference, I said it was middle of February, but give us the specifics there.
Sure. Great. Yeah. The conference is happening February 15, 16, and 17. So the 3 days, there are three full days of conferences, presentations, which we're really excited about. We were hoping to go in person, but we've switched the whole conference to be all virtual. So now everybody can join from the comfort of their own home or office as their schedule sees fit.
Yeah. And the theme this year?
The theme is coming together for wetlands and watersheds. We were trying to be ironic there because we really hoped we could come together in person, but it still is a relevant theme because we do need to come together for wetlands and watersheds as communities. We need folks from every aspect of our lives, farmers, community members, community leaders, private landowners. Everybody needs to come together to protect and restore wetlands in Wisconsin.
Well, Chairman Hill, you'll be making the keynote on February 16th, and over the years, the Oneida Nation has lost a good part of its wetlands. What were some of the causes for that?
Yeah, there's a very long, storied history of how the landscape across the country, and in particular here in Northeast Wisconsin, has changed over the many, many decades. Obviously from logging interest and then moving on into the agriculture industry. And so there's been a lot of physical changes to the environment that has caused some segregation to our natural systems.
Yeah, and that loss, what's that loss meant to the community?
Well, to
Oh shucks! Shucks, you're breaking up a bit there. Maybe we can fix that. We'll do our best to fix that. Katie, maybe you could address that a bit.
Certainly. Well, the loss affects all of us, the Oneida Nation community, but also across Wisconsin. We've lost more than half of our wetlands. I think that on the nation, it might be as much as 75% of the wetlands that are on their reservation. But that affects our water quality. That affects the ability of our land to absorb stormwater and manage flood flows, and certainly wildlife habitat. All of those things get affected when we lose wetlands, and we see more problems on the landscape related to water in particular when we lose our wetlands. And so certainly that's all happening on the Oneida Nation, given the landscape change and the development in the area.
We'll try to get back with Chairman Hill in just a minute or two here. I think we may try to reconnect with him via phone. But let's talk about some of the other presentations when we come back to Chairman Hill in a minute or two, but I believe some of them are free, right?
are, you know, we're talking about the science conference here, but we always do offer a couple of opportunities during the conference for members of the broader general public to join us. And this year, because we're all virtual, we are happy to be able to make two evening sessions free to the public. One is happening Tuesday evening, and that is our Wisconsin Wetlands Association annual meeting and wetland trivia night. We did this last year and had so much fun, battling it out, duking it out for who knew the most wetland trivia. But don't let that dissuade you from attending. It's actually quite fun, and you do everything in teams, and it's just a very nice interactive evening. So that's Tuesday the 15th. The other free evening event is on Wednesday the 16th, and we're going to be having Peter David, who's a wildlife biologist with the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission. He's going to come and talk about what he's learned from his career working with wild rice or manumen. And so talking about the ecology of manumen, talking about where it grows in Wisconsin and why it is important both for wildlife and humans, and what he's learned from working with manumen over all these years. So both of those are free and open to the public. And there's more information about each of those events at wisconsinwetlands.org.
Wisconsinwetlands.org. I think we have a link on our show notes today, too, at ideas@wpr.org/Larry. And the sessions, a lot have to do with the challenges that are being faced when restoring wetlands. What are some of those challenges?
Well, certainly, because we've lost half our wetlands, we are doing a lot of restoration to put many of those wetlands back on the landscape to bring those services and benefits back. But it's a challenge, right? Because every place on the landscape is unique. You have to pay attention to the hydrology. You have to pay attention to what community type might have been there historically. And so the techniques are changing. It's an iterative process, right? As we do more restorations, we learn more about what works and what doesn't work. And what the approaches are and the techniques. So we have 3 days full of presentations where folks are bringing that knowledge to bear and sharing that about wetland restoration. But also we're talking about current research on amphibians and reptiles in the upper Midwest. We have a special symposium on wetland soils and carbon, because as we grapple more with climate change and both how it will impact our landscape, we're also, we need to talk about wetlands can be really terrific solutions because they are carbon storage, just like the mother load of carbon in those wetland soils. But a lot of folks don't know very much about that, myself included. And so we're bringing some great speakers from across the country to share some more information about wetland soils and their ability to sequester and store carbon.
I think we've got Chairman Hill back, and we were talking with you, Chairman Hill, about the work that your Oneida Nation has done with its wetlands. And I asked Katie to talk a little bit about what the loss has meant to the overall community. But what about the loss of wetlands to you, just to your community in specific?
Yeah, I think, you know, specifically as we talk about the losses that we're talking about, the natural environment, so things like deer and wildlife, birds and fish in particular, and how the loss of those environments and habitat has, caused a reduction in the ability to, hunt, fish, and gather from those areas to help sustain a healthy nutrition and family activities.
So what got you started on working on redeveloping or restoring wetlands?
I think a lot of it just comes to bear with with our culture, Oneida culture, and our beliefs in how everything is connected through how we give thanks to all of creation, and that our original responsibilities as Indian people that were bestowed upon us upon creation is, really about stewardship and not necessarily ownership. And so we really want to make sure that we're doing all that we can to maintain those relationships with the natural environment in the way that they were intended when they were created.
Yeah, for sure. And maybe talk a bit about some of those investments that you've made in just getting that done in terms of what you've done.
Yeah, I think it's a large undertaking. As I mentioned, there are a lot of loss of wetlands over the many decades here in Northeast Wisconsin, and we've committed large amounts of acreage, I guess, to many projects. Probably the largest one to date is our headwaters of the South Branch of the Suamico River, doing a large wetland restoration there, being able to take restore headwater area so that water is cleaner as it reaches eventually out to the bay. And other partners in the area are working on, you know, different sections of that restoration of that watershed as well. And so we were able to start at the top, and we have partners, starting at the mouth of the bay, working up. So we're able to hopefully continue to address a whole system. And we've done that on several smaller scale projects as well, and restoring agricultural ditch lines to more natural flows.
Hmm. Tell you what, we'll get into some more detail with Chairman Hill. Tehase Hill is chairman of the Oneida Nation and one of the featured speakers at the Wisconsin Wetlands Association annual conference. Katie Belfis, our other guest today, she's the outreach programs director for the Wisconsin Wetlands Association. And they're going to be with us right up until 12:30 today. We'll take a look right now at the latest news, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. Then you can join in. In fact, you can call right now. The number is 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're talking about the importance of wetlands, taking a close look at it, and also we're talking about the upcoming Wetlands Science Conference. Two guests for you today, Katie Belfis, the Outreach Programs Director for the Wisconsin Wetlands Association, and with her, one of the conference's keynote speakers, Tehase Hill, chairman of the Oneida Nation. So as we talk with them, I hope you'll join in. Why are wetlands important to you? What do you want to know about the conference itself? What do you want to know about the work of the Oneida Nation and its wetlands? You can give a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or email us to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Well, we have Rick from Madison online, so let's take a call. Rick, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I'll tell you, I am a forester, and I have a small cottage on a small lake in Portage County, and I'm seeing people fill in wetlands all around me, 15 feet from the lake shore. I believe all these developments are illegal, and I went to the local county board anonymously. They did nothing. I went to the county level. They did nothing. And I talked with a lawyer from the DNR, and he said, well, I don't know what to tell you. So are there rules? Are there mechanisms to stop people from filling in wetlands and developing? I mean, people are adding onto their homes, you know, 20 feet from the lakeshore. And it's just shocking to me that I can't get any traction to stop this.
Hmm. Well, Katie, go ahead, Katie. I'm sorry.
I'm really sorry that you've had that experience of not wanting to jump in and help there. But I will agree with you that it is complicated, and I am not the best person to speak about the state of regulations because they have gotten more complicated in recent years with some legislative adjustments to our state level protections. And so development on wetlands, there have been protections, but it's mostly it depends. Of course, that's a terrible thing to say, but it depends on where the site is. You are absolutely right that development along lake shores and along stream corridors and river corridors is just not a smart idea because all waters are connected and wetlands are part of making those systems healthy and strong. And so when we fill those, we affect our lake water quality, we affect our river water quality. And it's also just not a smart decision as a landowner, because if water is meant to be in that location and you're just putting a bunch of dirt in there and building your house on it, the water still wants to be there. So I fear that these landowners are going to run into, you know, wet basements and other problems that are going to pose a big challenge to them.
Yeah, Rick, thanks a lot for calling. Persistence, keep at it. Hopefully you can make some headway with some of the elected officials in your community.
I would just say, if you haven't talked with your local DNR water management specialist, that is something to do. I hear that you talked to a DNR attorney, and so perhaps you've already done that. But if you haven't, I would give that a try as well.
There you go. Thank you so much for calling. Again, you can join in, too. The number's 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us to ideas@wpr.org. Chairman Hill, I want to go back to the work of the United Nations for a minute in its wetland restoration. You mentioned some different things, the headwaters restoration, some partnerships, and some smaller projects. What have been the results so far?
I think the results have been pretty astonishing, I guess, with the number of, you know, waterfall returning to the landscape in the area, especially in the spring and fall migrations has been tremendous, seeing the number of the species diversity continuing to grow in the area as well. And then as we continue to monitor different watering areas and the streams and fish passage itself, I think it's just important that, you know, all these things are making and showing those improvements over the years as we continue to expand our restoration projects through different parts of the reservation.
Yeah. And Katie, you want to add to that?
I wanted to point out that the approach that the Oneida Nation is taking is really tremendous and is something that that we would encourage any community to do, in that they're taking a headwaters on down approach. Chairman Hill mentioned this, but when you have problems at the place where the river joins the Green Bay, if there's a water quality challenge there, you can't fix it there. You have to look up the watersheds, because that's where the solutions will lie. And so the fact that the nation is taking that approach and is looking across the whole watershed and making sure they're starting at the top and working on down, that's what's going to have an impact. And so we're really thrilled to be able to highlight that work, because that approach is unique and very important.
Yeah. What kind of acreage or area are we talking about for that Oneida part?
Well, I guess the headwaters itself of the South Branch, that's a much larger, probably a couple hundred acres of wetlands that was restored directly. But with that work that was done out there, it affects, you know, several hundred more acres of wetland forest and things like that that are, you know, adjacent to the directly wetland restoration itself. So it several hundred acres are affected by that project, and we continue to work with the stream itself and other landowners who are willing to do projects on the land itself, whether that's different types of plantings or agriculture or putting the meanders back into the straightened ditches, so that slows that water down, lets the environment do the work to absorb those nutrients out of the water, so that you have less water quality issues when it reaches the bay.
Another piece of their program that's really impressive is that sometimes there's this understanding that you can't have both conservation and economic development at the same place, or that agriculture is incompatible with conservation. And it's simply not true. And a case in point is Oneida Nation is also working with agricultural landowners adjacent to these areas where they're doing restoration to do things like rotational grazing that actually can really benefit the watershed and benefit the health of the system if it's done in the right way. And so sort of marrying all of the different kinds of land uses within the nation and looking at it as a whole, rather than sort of just talking about conservation separate from any kind of economic development or business interest.
Yeah. And Chairman Hill, just thinking about that, what are the challenges? We heard from a caller a little bit ago about a challenge he's got trying to get people to stop filling in their wetland areas around him. But what have been the challenges to your efforts to restore those wetlands, your wetlands?
Yeah, I think that's a good question, Larry. Thank you. It's a lot of work has gone into that in particular. And then we still have, you know, the issues obviously mentioned before of climate change and the heavier storm events that are occurring more frequently than they should, that really dumped a lot of precipitation water on the landscape. And if we don't have the proper amount of wetlands on the landscape, that causes major flooding. And those are continued issues as we continue to work through these issues. We're hoping the more wetlands we can get back on the landscape to reduce those issues in the long run. So you have a lot of sedimentation going on, especially if you're not working with the headwaters down, I guess, aspect of it. You could do a project in the middle of a watershed, and then one spring or one tremendous rain event will carry a tremendous amount of sediment out and essentially bury all the work that you just did and change that landscape very quickly. And so I think that's always a constant threat when it comes to climate change and adaptation as we continue to work through these projects. And so we're doing our best to mitigate those occurrences as best we can.
Yeah, so it makes, I guess, as you're saying here, it makes sense to start at the top and work your way down a bit.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. Well, you can join in, too, as we go along here. I see we're getting some callers online. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or you could email us. The email address, ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. And just before we go to the phones, maybe comment for a minute or two more, Chairman Hill, on the kind of work. Does it involve stopping some agricultural land in that headwater area, or did it involve planting of native plants? What were some of those specifics?
Yeah, some of the specific things that you know, we've done is some berm, in placing some berms to impound the water, and in doing so, we've actually seen things like wild rice kind of spring up on its own, or whether the birds reintroduce it or whatever it might be, but some of that natural plant life like that quickly returns. And so there's not so much a lot of planting of plants themselves. We've also planted a lot of trees with reforestation efforts, bank stabilization efforts, I think are important as you're dealing with water and trying to make sure that the soil stays on the land and not in the waterways.
Yeah. Sharon in Minocqua, will go to you. Thank you for calling, Sharon.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Chairman Hill. This is Sharon Riley. Another great program. And hi, Katie. It's been a long time. I'm calling basically to just kind of reiterate what Chairman Hill was talking about, taking the watershed approach to wetlands. And just want to remind people, too, that of the importance of protecting our groundwater, the aquifer systems, and our we always seem to talk about surface water and surface water protection, but to take this landscape level approach, working at the watershed level, we really do also need to be looking at our groundwater. And this is I lived in Hawaii before I came to Wisconsin, and the Hawaiian Ahupua'a concept is well established, that to be effective at doing wetlands restoration, whether it's riverine or coastal wetlands or groundwater, you do have to take that landscape level approach. And it actually helps to support other activities like forestry and agriculture and even clean water use for humans. So such a fantastic program. No. I love it.
Well, thank you, Sharon. Appreciate it. Well, maybe comments?
I couldn't agree more with Sharon. Thank you for those comments. And I think sometimes we think about surface water and groundwater like they're somehow two different things. But it's all connected, right? It's all connected. Wetlands can both infiltrate water into groundwater, and wetlands can also be places where groundwater discharges out and becomes surface water and supports our streams and lakes. So it's all connected, and you're absolutely right, Sharon, that we have to take a landscape approach if we want to be successful for solving both groundwater and surface water problems.
Yeah, and Chairman Hill, a comment?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's thanks for the comments. They're well received, and I think even as we're talking about, you know, wetlands and surface water, as mentioned, they're, you know, connected with the aquifer underneath as well. So having these wetlands replenish the aquifer, but then also as we have a human impact on the environment as well, with the need for, you know, housing and business and things like that. Oneida's also taken the approach for the putting the placement of one of our water treatment facility for, you know, sewer and water service on the reservation for a good portion of the reservation, placed it, you know, essentially upstream and near a restoration wetland project itself. So when the water is cleaned through the treatment plant, is discharged into a further wetland to, again, further polish that water before it's returned from that wetland into Oneida Creek, and then again help solve one of our issues with water flow, as many of our ditches are, our streams have been ditchized, and get the water off the landscape quickly, but too quickly, and doesn't have a chance to get that filtration that's needed. And so where we placed our utility service also helps address, you know, recharging the aquifer itself, but then also some of the surface water and flow issues that we're seeing in Oneida Creek and Duck Creek.
Interesting. Well, we have a number of emails, too. Ron was wondering in La Crosse if he's very concerned that these efforts are going to be for naught if we don't get global warming under some kind of control. Here, Katie.
Yeah, certainly there are. We've got to do both, right? We can't, if we only fight climate change or work to mitigate climate change, and we don't take care of the land now, we won't have the resilience in the land for the changes that are coming our way. But same way, the other direction, right? We can't just pay attention to restoring wetlands. We also need to think about mitigating climate change. And that's one of the reasons we're having this special symposium on wetland soils and carbon, is so that we can make sure folks are aware that wetlands can be a really important tool for helping pull carbon out of the air and for maintaining the carbon stocks that they already have in their soils.
Kel in Sugar Camp was thinking about some of the animals that relate to a wetlands system and wonders if beavers are part of reclamation efforts.
Yes, in fact, they are. Beavers are some of the best wetland engineers out there. And a couple of years ago, we had a great speaker, Ben Goldfarb, talk about his book, Eager. I think you've had him on the show too, Larry.
I have.
And if you want to learn more about beavers and their wetland restoration activities, check that book out. It's called Eager, and it's a great book. I learned a lot. And yes, there are efforts in Wisconsin and across the nation. It's sort of just getting started in Wisconsin, but out west, beavers are much more frequently used as tools for instigating restoration in areas where beaver had been removed. They're putting them back, and the beavers are doing the restoration work themselves. We also can create things called beaver dam analogs, or BDAs for short, where you humans build something that looks a little bit like a beaver dam. It just helps change the processes that are functioning along that river or stream corridor, and helps a lot with restoration.
Cheryl wanted to recommend a book, the book title is Dispatches from the New American Shore by Elizabeth Rush. Wondering if either of you have read that. She's recommending that book. Again, it's Dispatches from the New American Shore. Elizabeth Rush, the author.
I have not read that book yet, but I sure wrote it down, and I'll check it out. I've got a big stack next to my bed, and I'll add that to it.
Yeah, sounds like a good suggestion.
All right. There we go. And I wanted to get another email that we had in here. Another listener wondered about these drainage tiles put in on farm fields. That water runs away, not into the water table necessarily, this listener says. And he believes 95% of all wetlands have been destroyed in Illinois.
Yeah. Yeah, we complain about our 50% loss of wetlands in Wisconsin, but that's, you know, we're doing pretty well compared to our neighbors to the south and some other states where it's been even more drastic. And yeah, drain tile is an issue, right? Certainly we need agriculture, and drain tiles are part of the systems that help farmers farm soils that are wetter. But I think a lot of farmers that I talk to say those fields are a pain in the rear because they take so much effort to keep those tiles functioning, keep those ditches draining. And you're absolutely right that when we have tile in the land, it's draining the water and putting it out directly into a ditch or a creek rather than allowing that water to settle in. And that moves the water faster. As Chairman Hill was saying, when you have fast moving waters, that's when you get the problems. That's when you get the erosion, the flooding, all of those things. And so we want to look strategically and work in collaboration with farmers to figure out where there are areas that may be under cultivation now that might serve everybody better, including the farmer, if they were restored to wetlands if there was a rotational grazing or some other compatible use rather than row crops, and removing those drain tiles and doing our best to make those ditches actually back into real streams and rivers.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, here we are. We're getting closer to the end, a couple minutes to go. Let's go back over the conference this year and a little of the highlights.
Yeah, so the conference is February 15, 16, and 17, all 3 days. The information, including the full program, is available at conference.wisconsinwetlands.org. Friday is the early bird registration deadline, and so prices go up after that. So if you want to check out the conference, I encourage you to register by Friday, or including Friday. I guess the rates go up on Saturday. And there are public events that are free and open to the public. They're all virtual. And the information about those public events you can find at wisconsinwetlands.org.
And I'm sure that we have links to that information at ideas@wpr.org/Larry. And just go to today's program, and you're going to find that information for sure. Well, I had a chance to go through all of the various talks and so forth, and it looks fantastic to me. Even a field trip involved there. You need to
sign. Well, we were planning an in-person conference, so we planned in-person field trips, and we thought, gosh, these are outsourced. Let's keep these going, and if folks want to come out and be outside in February in a wetland, let's do it. And we have folks signing up.
Yeah, and you need to sign up to attend those in-person field trips. So
that's correct.
And you're going to find all that at the site that we talked about. Well, Chairman Hill, Katie, thank you both very much for being with us today. Look forward to having a chance to talk with you again. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Larry.
Katie Belfus is the Outreach Programs Director of the Wisconsin Wetlands Association, and Tehase Hill is Chairman of the Oneida Nation. Great to have both of them with us today. Just looking ahead, tomorrow we'll talk about how PBS Wisconsin is helping schools teach about viruses, and we'll get the latest about the new COVID variants as well. That's Thursday. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.